the succession of ages must correspond with the succession of knowledges, which is an, not a medieval conception. And this coincidence between a cosmic hierarchy and a chronological succession is very frequent in this literature. But I think that the essential in this classification is not the question of the hierarchy, because finally, the end, is to say it would be the best, the perfect state of a mystic, is, as I thought, the ordinary life. Nothing remarkable.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a kind of circle.
This is for Borobi, I have seen a sort of lack of distinction when you speak of mystical text, and the mystical text is a center in itself, that it might be confusing if we don't distinguish so many types of mystical texts.
It's true.
We come from, I have here, outline merely, prayer, poem, autobiography, commentary, treaties of people who perhaps have not had even the mystical experience and yet. So some the things that you have said might be probably applicable to the mystical text as a text in prayer, would be like Saint Teresa.
Yeah.
But then there are many other mystical texts of four types at least, which it would be more doubtful.
Yes. The question is the distinction between literary genres and linguistic or philosophical function. We may take as a point of departure the Jacobson's point of view, telling that the poetic function can't be identified with positive poems. There is a poetic use of the language which must have a formal definition and may be recognized in some prose text or poems. My point is exactly the same. Is there a mystical function, a mystical use of the language? And I think it was the case for those writers, even if because of the nature of this function, there was, for example, a privileged use of poems. It's not so clear, even that is not so clear, because I think what would be more impressive is this connection between prose and poem. And I think that when this connection was slowly broken, because, for example, there was in the 17th century the privilege given to explanations or the isolation of poems, the mystical science of the proposal, the goal, the ambition of creating a mystical science became impossible.
Yeah, well, there was a displacement from the mystical poem or prayer to pure commentary and
theories. Yeah. But I'm trying to, after the different positive studies, to have a kind of formal model. Otherwise, we must obey the law of differences between the literary genre, which is a very paradoxical basis, because in fact, the literary genre is what is social in literature, what is not literature in literature.
When you were stressing the aspect of the verb in Meister Eckhart,
yes.
I was reminded that it's a bad luck that St. John of the Cross, according to Damas Alonso precisely, is very scarce in the use of verbs.
Yes.
There is a predominance of adjective and noun and lack of verb.
Yes, I think it's very interesting not only to do what is a necessary basis, the calculation of linguistic occurrences in of adverb or verbs or in Juan de la Cruz or in other texts, but to compare these occurrences with the linguistic theories in the 15th or 16th century. Because in the poetic conception of Juan de la Cruz, that there was a pressure of those linguistic contemporary theories.
There is nothing in phonetic, there is phonetic theory in Nebrija.
Yeah, yes.
By Luis, yeah. And in Herrera, yeah. Which explains why they use it in certain letters and not others.
Mm.
Particularly soft and yeah. Well sounding. So.
Yes, chiefly because also for Juan de la Cruz, the connection between Nebrija yeah. And Jimenez. As you said, this connection of the Spanish reform on this basis.
Now, as a point of information, how does all this apply to French mysticism in the 17th century? You have taken Señora de Cruz and Teresa. How would you give us an outline of where do you begin in French mysticism so that with French texts, you could do more or less the same that you have done here. Which author would you choose?
it's a big question.
Seems to be very much a speculator. No, he's more on the side of less on the side of.
No,
the
what
spirit.
Is interesting in François de Sales is the fact that his theory is entirely based on Jeanne de Chantal's, the mystical women experience. And even the Traité de l'Amour de Dieu is an illustration of Jeanne de Chantal's experience. What is more very interesting in François de Sales is the letters, more interesting, the style of this relationship, this fundamental dialogue with a very subtle psychology. But for me, it's not so interesting as a mystical text. It's more an interpreter.
Yeah.
But for example, Benoît Canfield, with a very interesting position of an English immigrant in France, having written the first part of his text in English and the second part in French. And probably the most, the deeper French mystic as a theorician, but as a real mystic, or Bérulle, or Surin, who is probably one of the most important mystical writer and writer, but during a long time neglected because he was mad. During 20 years, and in a kind of a therapeutic jail in a Jesuit prison college. And he was a member of the society, the Jesuit society, and the Jesuit very who took care of their reputation with great precautions. Were ashamed of this mad member who was also connected with Port-Royal, is to say the political enemies. But he's also a great poet. But there are some, or Madame Guyon and Fénelon, I think, because it's a kind of frontier. But I am also very interesting by the slow disappearance of the mystical experience. For example, the case of Pascal is a very fundamental one. Pascal is not has not a mystical writing, even if he has many of the same problems, but with other technical or philosophical solutions. And this passage, for example, also the relationship of Leibniz with the mystical trance in Deutsch or in France is something which is very interesting because you may see how there is a slow change in the of the questions and also, maybe more fundamentally, of their treatment.
And can you speak there of the mysticism being replaced by the moralists? The end of the 17th century?
It would be a sad displacement. In fact, I think that the mystical configuration was disseminated in different ways. For example, there is a literary part, and it's possible to recognize some very typical mystical characteristic in 18th century literature. There is also a pathological or psychological treatment, a new science. There is also a new conception of history, or in philosophy, the introduction of new questions, because I think it's very interesting to see Descartes with his Cogito so ambiguous, and the slow development of two different interpretations of Descartes, the one with Malebranche and a more technical one for example. Thank you for this. But if you have some suggestion, remark, ideas, I would like to receive them, not only because it's the same problematic of reception, but because I think this kind of literature may open very interesting technical, linguistic, philosophical question, and unfortunately it was not the place, or we had no time for considering the social or political aspect of this formation, which is also something which is very essential, but in five meetings it was a little difficult to. I have already some first restitution. The other one will follow.
Right now I have to go to the office again to see some students. I will call you tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The book is very interesting.
Yeah, the article by Helfu.
Yes.
Monsignor of the Cross.
Maintenant, j'ai la thèse avec moi. Non, j'ai regardé à nouveau la table, très comme ça, c'est vraiment assez passionnant. Bye bye, thank you.
C'était très intéressant. Je vous sens quand même, j'aime bien cette distinction entre, disons, l'aspect dialogique, l'appel et la réponse dans la première partie, sémantique et phonétique. Comment si vous ne mettez pas un peu trop l'accent avec l'aspect phonétique? Enfin, il est intéressant parce que.
Sur l'aspect phonétique?
Sur l'aspect phonétique, oui. Parce que finalement, vous prenez l'exemple de Lévi-Strauss, il y a comme ça. La poésie, ce n'est pas du mysticisme. Je veux dire, quelle est la spécificité d'un texte mystique par rapport à un texte comme Le Chat?
Tandis que
le côté dialogique, quand même dans les textes mystiques, le fait qu'il y ait un appel et une réponse, qu'il y ait une.
Oui.
Me paraît vraiment, vraiment important.
Oui, non, c'est ça.
Vous avez pas un peu...
Non, mais justement, ce qui me semble intéressant dans l'aspect musical, alors sous ce biais-là, puisqu'il y en a d'autres, c'est que le traitement phonétique du langage obéit finalement à la même structure dialogique.
Oui, d'accord. C'est-à-dire
que la matérialité du langage se trouve conformée à ce que raconte aussi son organisation sémantique.
D'accord. Oui, non, ça c'est très intéressant.
Et justement, je trouve cet aspect que, enfin, moi, ça m'a aussi ouvert un certain nombre de questions concernant justement la nature du langage, parce que sa coupure entre ce qui serait justement de la musique et puis ce qui serait du sens me semble arbitraire, et en tout cas considérer le langage sous un biais beaucoup trop étroit.
Non, là, c'est
parce que moi, c'est une chose qui m'avait frappé.
Thank you.
Dans, en analysant justement les pratiques ordinaires aussi.
Oui,
c'est formidable.
C'est, enfin,
j'entendais, ça m'amusait hier parce qu'il y avait un étudiant de Telluride qui blaguait sur sa famille, sa mère, etc. Les manières dont sa mère disait nice, he's so nice. Mm-hmm. Alors de fait, bien nice. Alors c'est la petite monnaie, ça circule partout, etc. Mm-hmm. C'est rien de neuf, et même complète dévaluation sémantique et un usage phonétique. Mais justement, je pense que le point à la difficulté, c'est de ne jamais désarticuler la phonétique, disons, de la sémantique.
Non, parce qu'en fait,
quand on dit nice ou oh ou etc., justement, ces langages, dans la mesure où il y a une globale expectation de sens. Mm-hmm. Ça, c'est une des choses qui m'intrigue de plus en plus.
Ouais. Non, c'est passionnant.
On lit un truc, ou bien vous regardez un paysage, finalement, ça fonctionne aussi. Je veux dire, il n'y a pas d'interprétation en archéologie ou bien en esthétique sans supposer que la nature est construite comme un texte.
C'est vrai. Pourtant, même, on a l'impression, dans certaines expériences mystiques, que l'expérience elle-même, disons la voix, l'appel ou autre, a fait un peu irruption.
C'est
des gens qui n'en avaient pas du tout la voix. On parle de la folle ou des gens comme ça. C'est des gens qui, a priori, n'avaient peut-être presque pas. Enfin, on devrait s'attendre à trouver ça à ce moment-là chez des intellectuels, chez des gens qui ont passé toute leur vie à attendre en vain pratiquement.
Oui, mais la lecture n'est pas un phénomène justement. Au fond, je pense que c'est une sorte de structuration aussi fondamentale de l'expérience humaine parce que le paysan lit, seulement il lit le paysage comme si c'était un bouquin dont toutes les pages étaient transparentes. C'est-à-dire que toutes les lettres sont là dans le même espace, mais il va prendre la page 380. S'il s'agit de savoir s'il va faire beau demain ou non. Il y a un certain nombre de signes épars dans le paysage qui sont sélectionnés. Et puis, s'il s'agit de savoir s'il faut qu'il aille à la chasse, ce sera d'autres... Alors, il y a, comme dans la lecture intellectuelle, des moments d'exorbitation d'un détail. C'est comme dans un tableau aussi. Mais ça, ce n'est pas le privilège d'une catégorie sociale. Je veux dire,
pas exactement ce que je veux dire, mais on a l'impression quand même que dans certaines expériences, certains comptes rendus ou rapports d'expériences chez des gens qui, a priori, des gens qui d'un seul coup se retrouvent, bien sûr, il y a toujours une explication, mais des gens qui se retrouvent chamans ou quoi que ce soit, où vraiment il y a quelque chose d'autre qui fait éruption, quelque chose qui ne répond pas du tout, qui est de l'inconnu, quelque chose qui ne vraiment pas.
C'est une question très
comme des rêves dans lesquels on rêve quelque chose. Vraiment, on n'a jamais lu ou entendu parler de ce genre
parce
de...
Là, c'est une... la soudaineté, qui est d'ailleurs un des caractères très fréquemment... comment ?
On n'a peut-être pas besoin de rester là.
Ah oui, on peut monter chez moi, je fume une cigarette, j'ai oublié une cigarette. La soudaineté, qui est depuis les Grecs, toujours la signature de ce genre
de... Ah non, c'est pas ça, je suis à la rue. D'abord, je suis à la rue.